In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When you were dead in your sins, God did the unthinkable. He forgave you. He canceled the written code that stood against you, nailing it to the cross. Christ bore your sin. Christ bore your death. That is why these ashes are in the sign of a cross. For Christ has died in your place so that you might be set free and be called sons and daughters of God Most High. By God's grace, you are saved through faith. Did you ask him to be born as a man? Did you ask him to take on your sin and die 2,000 years before you were even born? Did you ask him to preach the gospel to you and to make your dead heart alive? Of course not. By grace, you are saved through faith. Grace begins in the heart of God, not in your heart. Grace is revealed in the work of God, not in your work. Undeserved love all the time, so that your salvation might be safe and secure in the hands of your God, not in your own hands. As you cannot create the world, as you cannot bring someone back from death, so you cannot give yourself faith. The power of God creates all things out of nothing. The power of God raises the dead. And the power of God has given you faith. So God's power is not chiefly revealed in miracles or speaking in tongues or transforming the world into a more Christian society, at least outwardly. But Christ's divine power grants us all things that pertain to life and godliness, as the apostle writes. This does not come from within you, for you were dead in your sin, but it comes from Christ and Christ alone. He is the one who has torn out your stony heart and given you a heart of flesh. He has given you a new mind, new hands, new feet, a new will, new emotions, and new feelings. So we rely on this divine power to live a godly life, for it doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from God himself. And yet there is more. Through the great and precious promises of God, of this gospel, you also participate in the divine nature. God himself dwells in you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell in you. And the Son dwells in you with both his divine nature and his human nature. For you can never separate the work of Christ or the presence of Christ. So you are rightly called temples of God. No longer are you dead, but you have been made alive. No longer are you lost, but you have been found. No longer are you separated from God, but he has taken up residence inside your soul and your body, not in some metaphorical or spiritual union, but in your hands, in your feet, in your mind, and in all that you are, God himself now dwells. And when God blesses you in this way, when he changes your very essence through faith in his word, you begin to recognize just how great and deep the promises of God's abiding love are. For when his body and blood become the tissue of your members, you become Christ bearers, abounding in every good work, not looking for the praises of men, not wanting recognition from parents or a thank you from a spouse, but serving God to his glory and his alone, serving faithfully and diligently because he is the one who has given you the work, not simply because it needs to get done, and he has called you to it. So what you do and what you say is not simply your words and your actions, but these are the words and actions of God himself. So you have escaped the corruption of the world. God himself has changed you and made you his holy temple. You eat Christ's body and drink his blood, and his divinity and humanity flow through your veins and cling to yourselves. What he is, so you now are. How he lived, so also you now live. You have left your former ways behind. You have left the world behind and have moved on to heavenly things. The world is passing away, but the heavenly things are eternal. They have no claim on you, these earthly things, for you have been brought from death to life, and your body is no longer under a corruption of sin and death. For Christ has redeemed you, as again these ashen crosses symbolize. Once you were sin, but now you have been cleansed from sin. Once you were dead, but now you have been made alive in Christ. Once you were corrupt, but now you are pure and holy in Christ. So Lent is a time to renew this distinction, the distinction between you and the world around you. It's not a time to be sad or to feel sorry for yourself or for Jesus, but it's a time for repentance, a time to reevaluate our lives and to flee to Christ in faith. The good we want to do we have not done, because sin still clings to us. Though we are cleansed from all sin, we still fall into it. So let us flee the corruption of the world, not by cutting ourselves off from the world, but by daily dying to sin through contrition and through repentance, so that a new man might emerge and arise to live before God in true righteousness and purity. That is why we fast during this season of Lent. We are not trying to harm our bodies to show God how sorry we are, but we are trying to teach our bodies to yearn not for temporal things, but to yearn for the eternal things. We will not be controlled by the passions of our stomach or of our flesh. We do not want to live for immediate gratification. We want to live faithfully and diligently according to the vocations God has given. We do not want to do whatever we want. We want to faithfully carry out the tasks that God has given. And then we want also to find joy in that. Whether it be great or small in the world's eyes, whether it's called a chore, a task, school, we carry it out faithfully. So how quickly we begin these good works, and yet how quickly and how easily we become distracted. Nowadays, the distractions seem endless. And intentionally so, marketing campaigns are geared at our lack of self-control. Add to that the TV and the internet-based companies that create products vying for our time and attention. They profit off of our distractions, our lack of self-control. One rabbit hole after another, one click after another, all personally tailored algorithms to find out what we find most distracting. And the next thing we know, much time has passed by, and the good works that God has prepared for us are left undone. These things in and of themselves are not sinful, even as eating or reading or studying are not sinful. Each have their own time and their own place. There is a time and a place for all of these things, but it's the way that we use all of these things that become sinful. The way that our heart clings to this and finds its complete joy in this. The way that we simply go through the motions so we outwardly behave and obey, but the heart remains grumbling and discontent. The way that we perceive our chores and our tasks and the gifts of good works that God has given to us. It is those things that are sinful. So Lent is a time to reorientate ourselves around the Word of God, for that Word is the power of Christ to lead us toward a good and godly life. We are but dust and ashes. We cannot save ourselves, and we cannot do good works by ourselves. Yet we are not alone. God dwells in us. And he lives through us to overcome these distractions, to overcome these failures, so that we abound in every good work. So let us be self-controlled and diligent. Your work is divine. Your work is holy, because it is given by God himself, and because God himself does that work through you. Regardless of how demeaning or menial the task may be, it is a holy and divine work in his eyes. So let us not leave these works half done, or simply rush through them to get them done and to move on to what we want. But let us be diligent, responsible, and self-controlled so that God might be glorified by our faithful service. He has made you alive in Christ, and yet the moment you came to faith, he did not whisk you away to heaven. He left you here because he has a purpose for you. He still has work for you to do here. Yes, someone else could easily do that work and probably better than what we do. But he has not chosen someone else. He has chosen you. So carry it out faithfully to the best of your abilities. Say yes to godliness and no to sin. And this is possible because his gospel has made you new, given you a new heart, new mind, new feelings, new emotions. So during these 40 days of Lent, we renew our hearing of that word, which alone can save and lead us to godliness. And we renew our dedication to godly living. We abstain from the passions of our flesh, and we teach our bodies a very hard lesson that they must learn, that these bodies are dust and ashes, and the word of God is our sustenance and joy, not food, not drink, not the pleasures of this world. So Lent is a time to fix our lives where they are broken or where we have lapsed, to renew godliness and living. For Christ is our Savior. He alone has redeemed us. By grace we are saved and are called children of God and heirs of eternal life. He is our God who has turned these ashen, corrupt bodies into his holy temple so that we might serve him day and night. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.